I just want to share something that God was reminding me of, and that is He uses everyday illustrations of life so that we can comprehend what He's doing. And in line with that, how many know that the bridge is out down here? Okay, everyone knows. And yesterday, Irene and I took an excursion. We went down to see how far they've got, and they haven't got too far. But the Lord was reminding me today that when we have an obstacle that comes into our life, do we just give up when we want to proceed further to where we're at? Or do we pursue God so much that we find another route to get to where we want to go? And that's really what fanning that flame is don't be content to where you're at. He didn't put that obstacle there to hinder you from coming to Him. He put it there to see how much passion you have for Him to find another way to Him. And so if you do that on a regular basis, who knows what He's going to do in your life? Amen? Amen. Take your swords out, please. If you don't have your swords, let's get some swords out for you guys. Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. And that is the truth. That is really the truth. Today what I want to do, we've been spending several weeks about kindness, learning that kindness is love in action. And that all of us want people to be kind to us, but Scripture says we need to be kind to those outside of us, those out there. And kindness, as I stated, is works in different ways. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. A simple act of kindness, and I'll give you an illustration. I know of an individual this week that stopped, got a cup of coffee, and as they were coming to meet me, they stopped and dropped this cup of coffee off for another person. That's a simple act of kindness, because in our hustle bustle of everyday life, we were just like, we would poo-poo that. But you know what? Because that individual took time to purchase that coffee and stop and drop it off, we don't know who was watching that act. And so these are seeds that we are planting, and in good times, seeds will grow. But we're also exhorted in Scripture that, you know, don't give up, because in due season, we will reap that harvest. And that's what we're looking at, is we will continue to do these acts, and in due season, we will reap a harvest. And people will want God. People will want to know God. They will have this. Only because you are shining that light. You are doing these things to express God's love to them. Not whether they deserve it. Because let's face it, none of us deserve it. And thank God He went to the cross. Pastor Mike is the only one. He's with me. Amen. He's right with me. And so what I want to do is try to tie in everything about the shining, the light, not keeping it under a basket. I want to tie in about how we can love out of a heart. And I want to tie in that it's all our responsibility. It's not just the pastor's responsibility to do it. It's all of us. Turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And we will read, that's kind of, I got it from 13, but I think I want to go back to 12. Yeah, I guess I can, because that's where the sentence starts. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, we will start at 11 and read to 16. Okay? And it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be as infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We've heard this. And we kind of like tune out what this really means. And what I want to do is tie it all in. Everything that we've shared about kindness and the acts of love and shining your light and doing the things not because you have to, but because you have a heart to express God's heart to the world. And this past week, we've had some tragedies, some tremendous tragedies that have happened. And Irene and I, we look at it and like, what's going on in the world? You know, from shootings to mass demonstrations to military not doing its job. I mean, the world is in a state of confusion. But we're not confused. We are not confused. We are the body of Christ, and we trust in Him who sits on the throne. He's not confused. He knows exactly what's going on. And what He wants us to do is not be afraid to express the love of Jesus Christ. The problem that we have today is that we in the church talk about the love of Jesus Christ, and we constantly say to each other, Jesus loves you. And that's a truth, right? That's a fact. Or we'll say, I love you. Right? We say those things. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't mean anything. All they are is words of cliche. Until we put that into action, they are just words. And what happens is, in the Church of Jesus Christ, because we have a professional clergy today, we, the congregation, have a mindset, well, since we pay pastor, that's his job. While the body of Christ sits idle. I'm here to tell you, that's not what you just read. That is not how the body of Christ functions. It's all our responsibility. It's all our responsibility. Why? Because it says here, each one doing its part. Each one of us. It may be great, it may be small, but each one of us have a part. I was talking with someone about a ministry that's going on, and we're trying to evaluate this ministry. And this individual says to me, well, what about this? I said, they have not come to realize that this is their ministry. And he goes, well, why haven't they come to that? Because there is this thought life that once someone heads up a ministry, that it's the full responsibility of that one. No. Let me explain to you the reason why someone heads up a ministry. So that I could go to one point, person a point, and ask what's happening. If I can't make or be involved in this ministry directly, I can go to one person. It isn't that person's only job to handle the works of the ministry. It is so I can go to that one without having to go to everybody else. So I can put my hand on that ministry and feel the pulse of that ministry. You see, it's all our responsibility to make every ministry successful. Ministry may be an intimidating word. And it was shared with me yesterday that that may be the whole thing. Ministry is just serving. Really, that's all it means, to serve. What can I do to express this love of Jesus Christ in an act of service or an act of love to someone else? You get it? Do you understand this? You guys aren't just cute. You're smart, too. And that's what this scripture is talking about. But for too long, what has happened is this kind of thinking is, well, it's pastor's job. It's pastor who does this. My job is stated in verse 11 and 12. You see, a pastor is just a leader who cares for the flock of God, who wants the flock to grow, because that's our Father's desire, is to grow. Not only to grow up, but to grow numerically. And part of that growth comes through that when we do the things that are right, when we marry, the natural growth of a family is children, right? Well, when we are doing these acts of kindness, not out of a selfish ambition, but for the sole purpose that the love of Jesus Christ would be sensed and felt to those whom we want to impart the love of Jesus Christ, not tell them about it, it takes on a different meaning. You see, what I'm trying to get you to understand is, in this short passage, is a description of how a healthy church operates. Really. Everyone is involved. We may suffer roadblocks, but are we going to try to find another way to get where we wanted to be because that passion is welled up in our hearts? Or do we just, I can't get there from here, so why try? Kindness should be an earmark of the child of God. And the world needs to see something different. And God is saying, no longer should we be telling them about the love of God. Let us demonstrate it in practical ways. We had a great time at the festival, didn't we? That was our demonstration of love towards the community. But we also had another agenda underneath of that, of which we're working those details out right now. And as we do these things to serve one another, God stirs my heart to acknowledge that one. And Jess is just the first to be acknowledged of a job well done. And as we sacrifice our time, as we sacrifice and do the things that God wants us to do for each other to bring His glory to earth, which we know is going crazy at the time, something happens in us. A mark of a mature church is that the speech of a maturing church is that we go from a me-centered church, and I listen to what comes out of people's mouths, and a lot of time it's me-centered. I call that opera singing. Me, 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 I. We have to get to a we center. I told you, Christianity is a team sport. We're in this together, whether we like it or not. Whether you like me or not. You like me. I know. Because I helped with the s'mores. Got sticky fingers. And I didn't have any. I was just helping. I like to get involved. What we have to understand is that when we are doing these acts of kindness, it produces unity of spirit. it produces a process in which unity of faith is coming, it's maturing. And all this is held together through the unity of love. That's the key. First to love God, next to love people, then love life. And that's us interacting together. Our lives have to interconnect. We have to understand that discipleship isn't meant to correct every aspect in your life. Discipleship is to get you going. And when you hit a crossroads in your life, you can pray about it. And if you don't hear from God, you could talk to the person who's discipling you, or you could talk to one of the deacons, or you could talk to pastor. But that's not it. You could talk to anybody in here. Because your experiences are just as valuable as my experience. And the wisdom that you glean may be just the wisdom that they need. For too long, we centralize our thought life on the pastor and what he's doing, but we don't focus on what we should be doing. When we begin to start functioning as a team, each of us doing our part, do you understand that creates a balance in the body of Christ? It does. It does. Because early on when I would share with you that you know, when I released ministry to certain people who said, you know, you don't need to be doing this, that frees me up to do what I'm called to do. Really, you have to understand this. And you are called to do what you're called to do. I can't do it for you. When we do these random acts of kindness within the body of Christ, we do them in a way in which to help that one who is hurting, who is downtrodden, who's in a state of confusion, can't help themselves. Scripture teaches us that we should. And that's what this means. We should be involved in each other's lives. Not to the place where we're busybodies. No. No, you and I will have a talk. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not how I exemplify Jesus Christ. When you ask, I will pour out to you. I will answer whatever it is that you have need of. I will serve you, whatever you have need of, without grumbling and complaining. It's recorded. And that's another sign of maturity, without grumbling and complaining. We sometimes do these things, like I shared last week. You know, I'm out there mowing the lawn, and here's Irene. She's out, drops the hose, moves on to the next thing. And of course, I have to stop, put the hose away, so I can mow the lawn. And she comes out the window and she says, "What's your problem?" I said, "Nothing. Nothing. Nothing. I don't have a problem. I am not going to murmur and complain. It's a motivation of my will not to comply to my flesh what it wants to do." And all of us have not arrived. That's why we're still here. To be Christ-like is the process that we go through. It isn't the goal that we have. We'll never attain it while still in these vessels. We'll mess up. We'll say things that it'll offend. We'll do things that are selfish and stuff. Our objective should be to bring that balance. Look for those who can help us, glean from them the good, and throw away that which can't help us. We're not perfect. Only Christ is. And we need to stop being thin-skinned with each other. We give the people out there who don't know Christ more credit for offending us than we do each other. We do. Is that bringing unity to the body of Christ? No, it's not. One of the areas that I find that the body of Christ really lacks is a knowledge of God's Word. And that's in here too, in Ephesians. Why is the knowledge of God's Word important? It's not just my job to study. It's not just my job to dig into the Word to feed you on Sundays. It's your job each and every day. And as you're feeding upon the Word of God, there are situations that are going to come up that you need to give the Word of God. Jesus said, they shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, we shouldn't be given our opinions about anything. What does God say? What does God say about this? Have you asked God? Well, no, you know, I just need your... No, you know what? When I express my opinion, I have a chance of leading you astray and myself. When I give you the Word of God, maintain that balance that we need, that God wants us to have, and we grow. We may not comprehend what He's saying, but we will grow. And that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to grow. How can you help somebody if you are not in the Word? Well, I'll just go talk to Pastor. And you know that I love you. I will stop whatever I'm doing to be there for you. That's what the shepherd is for. It's to make sure that the flock is okay. But don't you realize that when the Word dwells in you richly, you have something to offer somebody that's life. I like the shirt. Just speak life. Just speak life. I dare you this week to pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. And if it isn't the Word of God, put a check. And then next week, let me ask and see your tally sheets. I'm in there with you. I really am. The reason why we need this balance and the study of the Word is so that charlatans do not come into the flock. It isn't just my job to protect the flock. Although that's one of my jobs, it's not just my job. It's not just the leaders. Dan and I were part of a fellowship years ago that seduced the shepherd. All these signs and wonders came in talking about what they could do for him and you know, all this nonsense. Part of this was the manifestation of gold dust coming out. You remember? And I have a check in my spirit. I'm like, something is just not right here. Something's not just right. And it was sweeping. This move was sweeping across the body of Christ, the church. So I searched the scriptures. And it talks about the Shekinah glory of God coming down. I not once said that it was not God. because I didn't want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. What I did say, if it's God, let it happen and let it spread. Let it go. Because my opinion doesn't matter. Search the Scriptures to see what God says about it. That's what we're to do. And when we're not sure about something, that's where we come to each other and we talk about these things. You know, doctrine is one of those things I don't like to talk about, especially in my recovery. I didn't want to talk about it because it requires so much mental conciseness about what you're talking about and what you believe in that I was not mentally prepared to fence with people like that. I depended on other people to help me. That's love. When I'm weak, someone else can come and alongside of me and protect me. When you're weak, who do you have to come alongside of you to protect you? Who do you have when you have questions about certain things? These charlatans, early on in the ministry, when we were first developing the ministry with the Holy Spirit, we had guys come in that were false apostles, false prophets, false teachers. And they would tell us. And they would say to us, oh, they've got this education, and they've got this anointing, they've got that. This is what you can do. And I'd sit there and say, okay, what I need from you is I need you to go wash the toilets over here. Our cleanup crew is, and they get indignant. It's like it was beneath them. If anybody asks us to do anything, it shouldn't be beneath us to do anything. If you desire to be great in the kingdom, you must be a servant of all. Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit. Not just the fruit of ministry. And that's where people get it wrong. It's the fruit of willing to serve, too, in whatever capacity. Serving the Word of God. Serving taking collections. Serving cleaning the church. Doing toilets. I remember when Pastor Tusi and I were doing this romantic dance to see if we were compatible, had the same DNA. I asked him. I said, he says, what can I do for you, brother? I said, well, you know, I really need my car washed. Where's the car wash? I'll take it for you. $20. He took the car. He had a willingness to serve, although he's the overseeing apostle of our network. He wanted to serve. He realized that if he could do just this little thing, it would set me free to do something else. And in reality, it's a test. I want to see what your heart is. I want to see if you line up with what my master says you should line up with. Not just tell me. Not just sit there. You see, you don't need permission from God to be involved. And so, you're not going to wait for me to say, hey, can you be involved in this? Can you? It's either going to be on your heart or it's not. It really is. And being kind to somebody, like I said, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's one of three fruits that we're to have for each other. But if we don't have the stability of doctrine, we can't speak the truth in love to each other. We can't. And that's the next thing that we have to understand. We have to protect the flock from all these people who espouse great things, but really, they only want to do certain things. They only want to say certain things. They have an agenda. Let God expose that agenda. He's given us the basics of that exposure that has to happen. Proverbs 27:6 says, the wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. It's a great scripture. And I'm not real fast to to speak the truth in love to people. Why? I want to make sure I have the heart of God when I present it. It's very, very hard for a person to share truth to another person because they don't want to hear it. How many times have we tried to say something to somebody and they're like, back up, Jack. I don't want to hear it. What you're selling, I'm not buying. And when we want to speak the truth, those of us who have sat before the Lord and really want to speak this truth to bring life, we take a risk. We really do. Any one of us who gets involved, we take a risk, because in that risk, what's at stake is the relationship. And you've heard me say, I will eat crow to save a relationship. Whether I've done something right or wrong or what, it's not my reputation. It's all about relationship with Jesus Christ. And through the years, I've had to. Because when Jesus was on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I have to have that same mindset, because there's nothing more important than the relationship. And me speaking truth to them could damage that relationship that they have with Jesus Christ. It could cause them to stumble. It could cause them to falter in their walk. Understand, you have within you all that you have need of. But you need to be in His Word to get your minds right. And once your mind is right and your heart is right, He'll release you to speak. We shouldn't be so fast to say, well, I got 2 cents. I can share it with you. I can afford it. You may have 2 cents, but at the end of it, you've lost a relationship. That door has been closed to you. Is that kindness? Is that an act of kindness? It's not. And as I said, you know, these acts of kindness is what's going to tell people who Jesus Christ is. And as you do these acts of kindness, you're not looking for a reward. What you're doing, you should be looking for the light to shine out of you so that people can see. That's what Jesus looks like. Oh, that was Philip's problem. Philip said, Lord, show me the Father. And Jesus is like, man, I could have had a V8. How long have I been with you dudes? And you don't see the Father? I encourage you to get into the Word. Because that's the only thing that's going to sustain you. And that's the only thing that you have of value that will bring life. Not your opinion. And every time that we feel that we have something to say, don't. Don't. I've learned through the years. Let me give you a piece of my mind. And I've learned that I've done more damage because I'm walking with a stick of dynamite in my hand and I just throw it in there and I blow up the whole thing. I had a person yesterday say to me, I don't know how you do it, Pastor. I really don't know how you do it. And this person had a really tough day yesterday. The grace of God, that's how I do it. I don't let that situation get me down. It may infuriate me, but I try not to let it put me under. I want to be over it all the time. I want to just be praising God and loving Him. And when we're able to keep this unity of faith and keep this unity of love, and we're pursuing Jesus Christ, and we're doing our part. I'm not asking us to do more than our part. I'm just asking us to do our part. Does anybody know what that's called? Cooperation. We cooperate with each other. That, you see it right here. It isn't just the pastor. It isn't just the deacons. It isn't just fivefold. It's the church working together. Maybe God's speaking to you to get involved. If you're waiting for me to invite you, you're going to keep waiting. The Bible says get involved. I'm not going to roll out a special invitation. So just keep working, keep doing, keep loving. But as we say, I want to be a part of this team. I don't have it all together, but He does. Jesus has it all together. Take an assessment. Those of us who give our lives, we assess what we have. Part of that assessment is, you know, can I meet a need? How long is that need? Am I spiritually and emotionally able to endure to help this one in that need? And do I have the finances to see me through this? That's meeting physical needs. Well, what about spiritual needs? Are you in the Word? Do you hunger and thirst after His Word? Because that's bread and life to our souls. That not only do we need, they need too. And when we put that bread out on the water, my Bible tells me it will not return to me void. It tells me that I'll receive a reward. It tells me that the children of God aren't begging for bread. It tells me that we'll be satisfied. Are you satisfied where you're at? Then you need to repent. You should never be satisfied in things of God. Should never be satisfied. It has been studied that infants that aren't cared for properly, and that means handled, fed, you know, changed, loved, just basically loved, played with. These infants grow, but they grow improperly. There is some sort of defect that they experience. But also the study has found that those babies that have been cared for, have been loved, have been fed, have been held and nurtured and cared for. I mean, I remember with Irene and me, I used to speak to my kids when they were still in the womb. We weren't even saved at that time. Remember just laying against the womb and my son kicked me in the head. You know? These are cool things. And in God, they're even cooler because you can appreciate His power of creating things. Really. And we're blessed. We are truly blessed. And what we have, we share. So that the light of Jesus Christ can shine out. Do we want to function like the Ephesian church? I believe we do. I believe that's in your heart. And I'm telling you right now, you don't need my permission. God's already given it for you to get involved. Because when you get involved, He's already involved. When we stop thinking about ourselves and our wants and start thinking about building His kingdom, just think about it. I sit in my office sometimes and after I come out of worship, I just praise Him. Because I get to do this. I get to help people. I get to reveal Jesus Christ to them. I get to see people acting unbecoming. coming back to me and yelling at me when they find out that I'm a pastor. And I tell them, are we still going to be friends? The reason is, I don't want people to know I'm a pastor. I want them to know Jesus Christ. The title doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is your relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that counts. It's the only thing that matters. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I invite you. Come to me today. I'll lead you. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, turn it up. Don't be ashamed. Those things that He's put upon your heart, do them. You don't need permission. Do them. And watch and see what God does. Because when you get involved in His stuff, all of a sudden your life opens up. It does. It takes on a different reality. But this reality is now you're walking with God, the King of the universe, our dad. This is His. And He lets us play in it. That should excite you. Let us stop playing with the junk and really pick up what really matters. Let us love with a fervency for God and a fervency for His people. And that starts with us just being kind to one another. Let us tear down those things of negative thoughts about each other. That may just be the enemy trying to divide and conquer us. You've heard me say, Satan does not want us to make a difference in this community. He wants to divide us so that he can kill us. And kill our relationship with Jesus Christ. This warfare is real. What we don't understand is how real it is. Because we still have physical eyes and we focus on physical people. But really, when you come to the pastor, you get spiritual realities. Because we don't talk about those problems. We talk about those spirits that are energizing this to get us to do their bidding. Isn't it time that we lay that junk down and do the one that loves us eternally, who forgives us for everything, to go out and make a difference in somebody's life? Isn't it? That's what we're here for. We're here to get somebody else saved. And once that person is saved, we continue to do it. We continue to do it. Our job is to depopulate hell so that heaven can be populated. So that Father's house can be full. And when it's full, we got a lot of work, because there's going to be a lot of people that don't know how to act in God's house. They won't know how to act nice to each other. And we get to help them. We get to help them grow. Stand up, please. I'm reminded of a sermon that was preached a while ago about our pledge of allegiance to Jesus. It sits on my wall. It's framed. I have only one allegiance that matters. And that's to Jesus Christ, who died and forgave me of my sin. He loves you eternally. But He wants you to make a difference in somebody else's life. If you don't know what that is, then come, we'll talk. We'll see what God says, what He's stirring on your heart. Forget about what's going on. Some of us are going through some tough times. But with the help of the body, you can get through that tough time. And take your responsibility for your life. It isn't the church's responsibility. It's your responsibility. God gave you life. And He wants you to give it away. Father, we just stand before You in awe. I've given them Your word. I've shared with them how to let Your light shine from out their hearts in a very simple and practical way of simple acts of kindness. Help us to groom our will to be Your will. Help us not to be reactionary, but responsive. Help us to serve life. Help us to tear down all vain imaginations and correct our speech. God, we need You. We need You to not only train us, but lead us to those who are hurting, those who need to know that You're real, God, and that You live through Your people, but You're not relegated to reveal Yourself just through Your people. As we go forth today, God, as we go to enjoy this day that You've created for us, let this word find fertile ground in our hearts. That we do these random acts of kindness to reveal You. That in good season, if we continue, You will give us the harvest that we're looking for. I praise You for Your wisdom, God. I praise You for sending Your Son to die on a cross. I praise You, God, and am eternally thankful that You call me son. These are Your children, God. How can we serve them better? It's by Your will, O Lord. I ask blessings upon them, God. May their hearts be filled with good things today. Enjoy the life that You've given to them. Forget about the decisions that have shipwrecked them. And say, from this point forward, I will satisfy the Lord's will. From this point forward, I will not speak evil of anyone. From this point forward, I will not grumble or complain. And if I do, I give You, Holy Spirit, permission to bring conviction so that I may repent and it be taken out of my life. Amen. Father, I thank You for Your people. I thank You. I love them, God. I love what You're doing.